Let me get into the message today for timing's sake. See, the person in the balcony is excited for the message, absolutely. Joshua chapter 5 is where we're going to jump into a story. So let me read it in verse 10. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. Unleavened bread and roasted grain, the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate from the produce of Canaan. Now, when I read these kind of things, whoa, this is exciting. Something's happening here. You want to kind of dig a little deeper. You want to get a little bit of the backstory. So what's happening? At the AGM, for those that were there or attended, I just referred to Joshua chapter 4. Well, as God's people left that wilderness journey after 40 years, they walked through the Jordan River into the promised land. God said, on the way through the water, on the way on, you know, the dry ground of the Jordan River, get one person from every tribe, 12 men, to grab a big old stone and bring it across, and we're going to make a memorial on the other side so we won't forget. I love picturing it like this. He didn't ask 12 little kids to grab a little rock because that's all they could carry. And then on the other side, they build a little memorial and then the weeds take it over and you never see it again, right? Because that's what happens here in Terrace all the time. Weeds everywhere. But, you know, he says, I want to find 12 people that are like Goliath type people, that are like Andre the Giant, you know, from wrestling. These kind of guys that could put, it even says to put on their shoulders, even put a little pebble on your shoulder, like a big mass of rock. So that on the other side, there would be this big pile of 12 rocks that would be very obvious and wouldn't grow over with weeds. So we could see here that they wanted to honor God by doing that. So that's a little bit of the backstory. Let me go a bit further now. And even challenge us to say that as we look at our history as a church, we look at the Terrace Pentecostal Assembly history, we are actually writing it right now, 2020. We're thinking, I don't want to write much about that. But, you know, it's in there. It's part of our history because God still did things. He still was up to something, even in that difficult season. Even it might have felt like a bit of a wilderness journey the last 7 months. But here we go, chapter 5, verse 1. Let's just shed a bit more light on the backstory again. Verse 1. Now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. As the Israelites were obedient to God just by crossing over the Jordan, it freaked everyone out. Everyone was very scared. Three things are going to come out of that thought. As they walk through the Jordan, don't ever forget that these people really had never been baptized through the Red Sea. Because we know the story that God said, none of you Israelites are going to make it to the promised land. It will be your sons that will. So the sons walked through the Jordan and were baptized. We see that so clearly here. Isn't that just fun to think about? The second thing that we see again is that out of their obedience to God as they just were walking along, just walking through the Jordan, it freaked everybody else out. So as you and I be obedient to God, the Holy Spirit is inside of us and the devil's scared in Jesus' name. Watch out, devil, because we're just being obedient to God. In your obedience, collectively, as the Israelites were collectively obedient, everybody was scared of them. Do you understand the power and authority that you and I have? We forget that sometimes. Oh, the devil's beating us up. Oh, the enemy's winning today. No, never. He's always freaked out of you because you're full of God. You're full of his presence. And we just walk it out and he runs away from you. Don't ever forget that. You have such power and authority. And sometimes we lose sight of that. I really hope that we've learned something in this pandemic season, that Sunday morning worship service is not the only way that we worship and connect to our God. I hope we've learned that as a church. I hope that you figured out how to do your devotionals. I hope you figured out how to just read the word and let God speak to you. I hope you figured out different ways to connect with church or with God during this season, and that we come together now. We don't just go, well, that was for that season. I'm just happy to be back in church, and that's all I do again. Oh, church, let's wake up. Let's get on fire again. Let's be passionate about it. Every morning you wake up, you're like, oh, praise God, another day. Let me get into his word. Let me just put my attention on God. And the other thing that I love to envision is that as they were being obedient to God, we know that the story continues on, that they take Jericho. They take this walled fortress city, and that God absolutely smashes the walls to pieces. I want you to think about whatever's going on in your life. If you're full of anxiety and worry and fear, that God is going to smash that wall down in Jesus' name. And that the walls of Jericho weren't just like, let's take one stone off at a time, and then we'll go into Jericho, and then we'll maybe build that wall again up later. No, he absolutely made it unrepairable, so that everything that's holding you back will become unrepairable when God comes in. You know, you won't go back to that addiction. You won't go back to that kind of fear and anxiety, because it doesn't exist anymore, and you can't find anything to kind of build that wall up again. I tell you, I've had walls up in my life before. But when Jesus Christ came in, he set me free. That wall doesn't exist. The light of heaven can pour right into your situation. You can walk right into the enemy's camp with no worry and no concern. So there's a bit of the backstory. Let's kind of reread, because I always like to dissect all the verses. So Joshua chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. Oh, that's such an important point. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain, and they drank some of the wine from the place. Some of the water, because they were thirsty. Now, where did this produce come from? They enter the promised land, and all of a sudden, it's a big army. They're going to need a lot of food. God had been providing manna from heaven forever. He'd been bringing quail in for them. And now, all of a sudden, it's all going to dry up. So where did this come from? Let's flip ahead just one chapter, Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. So there was some people living around Gilgal that were producing the fruit, producing produce for Jericho. You know, you've got the walled city. Outside of the walled city, I would assume there's fruits and all kinds of grains, all that kind of, you know, harvest fields. And all of a sudden, the Israelites come. They all head into town. They all go into the walled city. They leave the produce. They leave the cherry trees. They leave, you know, whatever we want to say. What else can we grow around here? Raspberries. They leave the apple trees. They leave all those kind of things and head into town. Say, forget this place. The Israelites were coming. We're freaked out. They leave all the barns. They leave all the storehouses. The Israelites come in and start enjoying that. Oh, there's just so many references. We'll be careful how much we spend on this. But Psalm 23, verse 5, it says this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You see, those individuals were Israelites' enemies, and they were preparing all that produce for the Israelites, for God's people. Isn't that great news? As the enemy is just like, oh, look at all this food we got. This is going to be great. And all of a sudden, God just shows up, and they run away, and they get to inherit it all. They didn't have to work for it. It was just received to them for free. Isn't that just a great thought? Let's unpack verse 12 a little bit more of Joshua chapter 5. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. Again, manna was a wonderful blessing for them when they needed it. In their grumbling and complaining in the wilderness, they were able to receive that. But really, the manna was the mark of a wilderness state, a lost, a wandering state, and that came to conclusion, that was now finished. They were now in the promised land. They were being obedient to God again. The manna, they didn't want the manna. You wouldn't want to be in a wilderness state forever. So the manna dried up. That's great news. The country people, having retired to the safety that went into Jericho, had left all their barns and their fields, and all that was out there served for the survival of God's people, that great army again. Let me just refer to one more Proverbs. So good, Proverbs. Chapter 13, verse 22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Whoa, that's great news, isn't that? As sinners go around trying to like get possessions and more things, it's really being stored up for God's people in a sense. I'm going to receive that. Who's got a boat or who's got a big screen TV? I'm having fun with you now, but let's just go down that trail. Let me do a little rabbit trail for a second. We're going to come right back, I promise. But think about this. As you and I are trying to store up our treasures, not here, we're trying to store up our treasures in heaven. So at that day when the rapture happens, that we are lifted up and we meet Jesus in the clouds, we will receive our due reward. I love it so clearly that we leave here. We don't care about here. We will receive what we have poured into, a heavenly reward. The reverse that happens, though, is that the people that are concerned about possessions, people that don't know God, they're trying to get ahead and get more and more things, they actually will be received their reward. When you and I leave, we're going to leave a lot of stuff. Well, we're going to leave a lot of possessions. And in a sense, people will receive what they really were serving or what they're really running after was possessions. They're going to get all of ours. That's their reward. For the rest of us, it's going to be a spiritual reward. It's going to be a heavenly reward. It's going to be so refreshing. So make sure you've got your eyes on the right thing. Just think every time you buy something, that's for your neighbor. Think about the I really hope your neighbor comes to the Lord. But just think about it. It's for people that don't know Christ. So don't have too much attachment to it because you're not going to enjoy it for very long. Isn't that sad? That's why I buy old things, used things. That's not going to be mine for very long anyways. Last couple points here. The title of chapter 5 is Circumcision at Gilgal. See, they honored God by making sure that everyone was circumcised. Let me just read it here in chapter 5, verse 4. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. We see that all the people that left Egypt were circumcised. They went into the wilderness journey. They all died off. The new babies, the new men that were born there were never circumcised. So when they come into the promised land, they want to circumcise all these men. Why is that so important? It's an outward sign of a contract that is saying, as a man, I'm circumcised so that all my family is of the member of the chosen people of God. It's an outward sign. Okay, so that's nice. What is the inward sign? It's got to be more than that. It's got to be richer than that. Let's flip over to Jeremiah. Prophetically, he says this, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem, or my wrath will break out against you. Circumcision of the heart is an inward contract. It's almost like when they went through the Jordan, they were baptized. The baptism of water doesn't do anything externally besides you getting all wet, but internally something drastically changes. Again, the circumcision of your heart changes something. You're saying, I want to be connected to God. I want to change from my ways. I need to turn from all that kind of stuff. And there's a molding of your heart. There's a turning. There's a changing. There's a circumcision of the heart. That is just so important. So we see these people come through. And when you read that story, isn't that just so funny? In a few verses, oh, there's so much there, isn't there? As we peel back a few layers, we realize, wow, that's a rich piece of scripture. We see them getting baptized. We see them circumcising and changing their hearts towards God. We see that God provides for them so well. all the promised land, the milk and the honey and all those wonderful things again. Not that they were complaining about the manna, but we see that so, so clearly that their hearts were on the right path there. I want to flip to the New Testament now and just refer to a story that resonates in the same kind of thinking. So Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, we'll jump in verse 13. It's a bit of a story, so bear with me, and then we'll kind of recap it at the end. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell me, brother, to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What should I do with all this crop? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, I've got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." And God said to him, "You are awesome. Good job, faithful servant." He said, "You honking fool," with an exclamation point. "This very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself." This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. That is my heart's cry for us as a church, is that we would just have our eyes set on God. We would just put our focus on God. Yes, we should have a roof overhead. Yes, we should have green grass and all that kind of stuff. But as long as we've got our eyes on the right place, I pray that our church and all of us would be rich towards God. As we've been so blessed, we've been so taken care of throughout this pandemic, I hope you say amen to that. It's been challenging, it's been crazy, but God has sustained us and provided for us so generously. Let's not take it so easy. Let us be mindful, and full of the Holy Spirit so we can accomplish his plans and his purposes in this community. God hasn't had a time out for 7 months. God hasn't just kind of like put things on pause. God is at work in our community. Let's open our eyes. This is a brand new season, a brand new day. What an opportunity God is giving us, like no time in history. And he picked you and he put you here at this time of the world and he wants you to do something for him. Isn't that great to think about? I believe that this story, with all of my heart, as I was preparing of Joshua, is similar to us today. In the sense of we've walked through a pandemic, we're still walking through it in a sense with COVID, and it may have felt like a wilderness journey. There was parts of me and times where I'm like, this isn't even fun anymore. These cameras are driving me crazy. But God was still up to something through that. He's been providing for us all the way, even though we grumble along the way, don't we? And God is still sustaining. He doesn't say, "Well, you guys are grumbling, so I'm just checking out now." He's still there. He was still there for the Israelites, just like he is for us today. But he wants to bring us into a new season, into a new place, and I pray that we would be listening. Make sure you're baptized as these people were. Make sure you've got a heart change. Make sure you're enjoying the presence of God so we can carry through, so we can face everything that we're going through. Because God is so good and he wants to bring us into this new place. Oh, I hope you agree with me and you say amen. I have no idea where I'm at right now in this kind of schedule here. We got to make sure we take care of everybody, especially those online. But let me finish now and close our time together with a prayer. And then I need to share one more announcement with you. So let's just have a time together here, just with our eyes closed. Father, thank you for this moment. Lord, so much in our first service together, but we praise you and we thank you that you are here with us. You're giving us wisdom and guidance as a church. Lord, we want to be so sensitive and obedient to you. We look to you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.